This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place, whether you're in the mood for a jazzy CD release party, a Mozart opera, or a Latin cultural celebration. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Award-winning singer, artist, and author, Lena Prima is the daughter of New Orleans legendary singer and trumpeter Louis Prima. She has 5 albums to her own credit. Her new release, Prima La Familia, just out from Basin Street Records, takes her back to her roots. It's a celebration of classic songs from the Italian-American songbook. Lena Prima is here. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, but better yet, you. Congrats.
Thank
Billboard
you.
Jazz Top 10?
I know. I'm so excited. I can't believe it.
Oh, my God. What does the title, Prima La Familia, mean?
It means family first. So the music is from the Italian-American heritage. It started in the 40s with my dad. He wrote and recorded a lot of great Italian songs with humor and in the big band form. And Italian-Americans have grown up with these songs for generations, playing them at Sunday dinners, weddings, just in their daily life. It made them happy and feel joyous and also laugh at the funny things and the names of the food and, you know, the lifestyle, Italian lifestyle. So it was important to me to be able to pass this great music down to a new generation.
How did you go about making your choices? Was it difficult?
It was difficult. There's a lot of songs, and I had to really start with a big list and then start eliminating based on what I thought I could deliver in my own style, in my own way that would make sense. So it was tough because I love all that music, you know, but I'm happy with the selection.
Now, are some of the selection songs your dad actually sang?
Most of them, in fact. There's one song on the album that is a traditional Sicilian folk song, and the executive producer's family, they grew up with it. It was important to me to have something their family could also enjoy and be proud of on the album. So I recorded that especially for them.
What's it called?
It's called Cutiludisi.
And what does that mean?
That means, who told you? Who told you that I would ever leave you? I love you. You know, very passionate song.
This album is your first with Basin Street Records.
Yes.
How did that come about?
Well, it was a dream of mine to be a Basin Street Records recording artist. So while I was recording the album, we reached out to Basin Street, had some meetings with Mark Samuels to describe the project and hoping that he would be interested in it. We partnered up, and I'm so excited. I'm really honored.
Now, let's go back in time. When did you know that you would follow in your dad's musical footsteps?
Gosh, I have been singing since I was a little girl, so I've always wanted to be a singer. It was my desire as soon as I got out of high school. You know, it started in high school, the singing. Doing this type of music, though, didn't really come about until much later. I sang rock and roll and Top 40. I was in bands, you know, all the years. Like, oh my God, 20 years. I just worked singing cover songs and stuff like that. But I was on a cruise ship in 1999 with the Spiral Staircase and started to perform some of my dad's songs. And people were coming up after the show and telling me stories about my dad and how they skipped school to go see him in New York and things like that. And it just really inspired me to start doing that music.
So tell us more about that music, some of the other favorites on the album.
Well, I love them all.
Of course.
Now, Come On to My House is Rosemary Clooney had the hit on that, but my father and Rosemary recorded it around the same time and very similar arrangements. I feel as though it must have been presented to them at the same time, and Rosemary ended up having the hit on it. I wanted to do it for that reason and do a sexier version.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple and a plum and apricot or two.
Some other favorites. I love Felicia No Capisce. That cracks me up. It's about Luigi who meets this girl, Felicia, and he's just trying everything to get her to fall in love with him, and she just, no capisce. And then Oh Marie, that's a special one. My dad is credited with the English translation of that song, so Larry Seaberth, who did all the orchestrations and arrangements for the album, did the most beautiful version of that, which paid tribute to the old traditional folk song of Vuoi Marie into the big band version, and I'm singing the female version of that.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Pensate Amore is my special gift to my dad song because I heard that in a Flintstones movie when I was like four. It was called A Man Called Flintstone. And there's a scene where Wilma is in a tower in Rome and Fred is trying to get to Wilma and begins singing, and it's my dad's voice. So I ran to my mother going, Mommy, Daddy's Fred Flintstone. So she said, no, your dad was never Fred Flintstone. Of course, much later we have Google and I found it, and it's a beautiful song called Pensate Amore, which means think love. And my dad was really all about that. That was his thing. Everything's all about the love. So, yeah, special song.
Do you think he's sharing in your success with this new CD?
I hope so. I know he'd be proud of what I've done. I'm really proud of it, too.
And you're singing in both English and Italian?
Yes. Yes. English and Italian and Sicilian, which is different. All the Sicilians are going, that's right.
I understand that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are also an advocate for the city's Italian-American community. Tell us about some of your activities.
Well, I've been involved with the St. Joseph Society, which they are called now, but they were the Italian-American Marching Club when I first moved to New Orleans, so I got to be the Grand Marshal in the parade, and I have been involved with their activities for the past 6 years. And then I was inspired to form my own organization, and it's called CHOW Women, and the CHOW stands for Celebrating Italian-Americans Organization for Women. And I want to honor women in the community, so I had my first awards last year and honored four women in the community who are doing great things and a real positive example, and also advocates for their heritage, too.
Now, what can we look forward to at your upcoming CD release party?
Well, we're going to celebrate this wonderful album. Please come early. We're going to have past hors d'oeuvres from 5:15 to 5:45 and 6 o'clock. I'm going to perform with a smaller band than what's on the album. So I'm going to do a concert at 6 o'clock and do most of the album, hopefully.
Award-winning singer Lena Prima celebrates family on her new CD, Prima La Familia. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
One night, Luigi met a beautiful bambina, and he melted like Farina when she played her little game. That night, she made him dizzy as in vino, and you know just what I mean, oh. Felicia was her name. He took Felicia to Las Vegas, here's the story. She spent the weekend eating chicken cacciatore. But when he said, I'd like to kiss you, Felicia, no capisce. The way she gambled down the table wasn't funny. You should have seen the way she found to lose his money. But when he said, I'd like to squeeze you, Felicia, no capisce.
Lena Prima's CD release party takes place Thursday evening, February 7th, beginning at 5 p.m. at the Royal Sonesta Jazz Playhouse. More info online at lenaprima.com. Acclaimed soprano Heather Phillips makes her Crescent City debut, starring in the New Orleans Opera Association's production of Mozart's Abduction from the Seraglio. This comedy, set in a nightclub, is a reimagining of Mozart's masterpiece with a cinematic feel. Heather Phillips is here with Artistic Director Robert Lyle. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
And welcome to New Orleans, Heather.
Thank you.
You have a beautiful voice. You star as Constance, the abductee, in this production. Will this be both a debut in our city and, in particular, this role for you?
Yes.
Wow.
First time at this role, so I'm really excited.
So what attracted you to this production of Mozart's masterpiece?
It's a very challenging role. The music is kind of a feast for a singer. There's all kinds of emotions to explore and different types of singing as far as lyricism, fioritura, coloratura. The range of the role of Constance is probably the biggest range of any Mozart heroine, kind of one of the Mount Everest roles of Mozart, and I'm really looking forward to tackling it for the first time here in New Orleans.
Of Mozart's 19 operas, there are five that emerged as the most popular, and that is Abduction from the Seraglio, The Marriage of Figaro, Così fan tutte, Don Giovanni, and The Magic Flute. In Mozart's own lifetime, this piece, Abduction from the Seraglio, was far and away the most popular of all of his works and the most frequently performed.
So let's get into the storyline. What's the opera about?
Two couples that have found themselves abducted also into traditionally a harem. We're setting our production in the 1930s, so it's going to be more of like a nightclub setting. The Pasha Salem, who is the runner of this nightclub, is kind of like 1930s gangster and has a probably some underground dealings going on, and he has fallen for Constance. And so Constance, she's actually fighting feelings for him. And right as she's about to fall for this Pasha, her boyfriend Belmonte shows up to rescue her. And so she's kind of left with the predicament of, do I fall in love with the Pasha and stay here, or do I try and escape with Belmonte and go back to life as she knows it? And then you have some other side characters that really provide a lot of humor for the opera. Unfortunately, Constance is more of a dramatic, kind of tragic role. She doesn't really get much of the comedy in the show.
We need a straight man in the
exactly, to balance the comedy. And what's interesting about this production is that it's because there's this beautiful love triangle between the Pasha Salem, Constance, and Belmonte, we've kind of decided to let it mirror the movie Casablanca in a way. Probably one of the best known love triangle stories of all time. So anybody who's familiar with that film will definitely see the parallels and definitely enjoy this particular production.
Mozart was unique in his ability to capture the sentiments of the heart and express them fully in music. And we see this ever so brilliantly in Constanza's music. She sings deliciously beautiful arias about her longing, the sense of losing love with Belmonte. And then we see her in truly one of the virtuosic masterpieces for a coloratura soprano, lyric soprano, in Martin ad Artem, in which she is utterly and totally defiant in the face of Pasha Salem threatening her with torture, even if necessary, to get her to see his point of view. So this is not just a stand and sing role. It really needs a Maria Callas level of dramatic understanding to be compelling.
Heather, what are some of your favorite arias in this opera?
You know, I think my favorite for Constance is an aria called Traurigkeit, which means feeling sadness. It's really a moment of stillness in the opera. Most of this opera is vocal fireworks, but Traurigkeit is this real moment of stillness where she's really contemplating her fate. I've been abducted from my home, and I don't have what she thought was the love of her life with her anymore. And I think that really speaks to Mozart's ability as a dramatist. He knew when an opera needed moment to stillness versus everyone running around and being kind of expletive in their emotions. And so, yeah, I think it's her second piece. And what's interesting about this role in particular is that her first three numbers are three arias straight in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the other challenge, is it's kind of like a not only a Mount Everest climb, but it's a fast climb uphill for the first act.
You're going to be busy.
Yeah.
Tell us a little more about yourself. You're from Ohio?
Yes. Born and raised in North Canton, Ohio, just about an hour south of Cleveland.
And you have garnered many awards in a career that's taken you in a short amount of time around the globe. What are you most proud of?
Honestly, I'm really just proud to be a working musician. I love opera. I love classical music. I started out as a pianist and flautist through school and was exposed to opera at a pretty young age. At about 12, 13, I first saw Madame Butterfly in Cleveland, the Cleveland Orchestra and Opera. And I just fell in love with it. And originally, I thought I was going to go into medicine. I thought I'd be a nurse. And then I would always get picked for solos in school and really just excelled in music. And I started studying privately in voice. And my teacher said, you've got some chops. You know, have you thought about going to school for this? And so I auditioned and ended up getting into every school that I auditioned for. And so that sort of told me, okay. But as I've, you know, been studying and working at this for almost 15, 20 years, it's a really difficult career to make it in professionally. There's a lot of persistence required and discipline, and I've met those challenges. So just to be working in the field of opera is really, I think, the best gift of all.
And you cut your teeth in Santa Fe?
I did. I was an apprentice at the Santa Fe Opera for two summers. I was also an apprentice in Cincinnati at the Cincinnati Opera and Kansas City Lyric Opera. I'm definitely an American trained singer.
What would you say will be most memorable from this production?
The audience is going to be enthralled with the art form that is opera, but also really be compelled by the story hand in hand.
It's virtuosic, And so for those that do like the vocal fireworks, you get them aplenty. And for those that love the expressive power of Mozart's magical music, you get that too.
New Orleans Opera Artistic Director Robert Lyle and acclaimed soprano Heather Phillips, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
The New Orleans Opera Association presents Mozart's Abduction from the Seraglio. Performances run Friday, February 8th, and Sunday, February 10th at the Mahalia Jackson Theater. More info is online at neworleansopera.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. A new project giving voice to Latin culture in New Orleans launches this week. It's called Vida in New Orleans. Vida, V-I-D-A, meaning life. At the helm is award-winning multidisciplinary artist Jose Torres-Tama. We caught up with Torres-Tama by phone. He's calling in from San Francisco. Hello, Jose.
Hey, Diane. How are you?
I'm doing good. Tell me what brought you to the West Coast.
I am here because of great situation. Our film, This Taco Truck Kills Fascists, which won the Best Louisiana Feature in 2018 at the New Orleans Film Festival, is having its Bay Area premiere. And both Rodrigo Dorfman and I are here in San Francisco for the San Francisco Independent Film Festival. And it's quite a treat because the film has created a lot of buzz.
Rodrigo Dorfman is the filmmaker.
Yes, and Rodrigo flew in from Durham, and I am here from New Orleans.
That's beautiful. Congratulations, Jose. In addition to the Radical Theater on Wheels project, you're launching a new project highlighting Latin American culture now. It's called Vida. Tell us, what is the focus?
Vida, as you mentioned, means life. Vida in New Orleans, life in New Orleans. I've had this URL, I've owned this domain name, Vida in New Orleans, since actually summer of 2015, when during that time I put together a series for about 6 months called Teatro Sin Fronteras, Theater Without Borders, to highlight the many Latin American artists that we have in our city that are part of the artistic renaissance, right? There's been a rebirth and renaissance of artistic movements that have happened post-Katrina, and Teatro Sin Fronteras highlighted our people. Vida in New Orleans highlights our people continuously with scholars, poets, and writers, and we're having live music launches about the fact that we are here. We have been here. We have been part of the rebirth, renaissance, and reconstruction of New Orleans in the post-Katrina years of 13 years plus, right? One of the tragic things for me in the 2018 tricentennial was to bear witness to the fact that our Latin American immigrant community was no part of the program, no part of the celebration. So I myself, as a cultural activist, cultural warrior, cultural provocateur for my people, I thought this is the time to begin launching this, to make sure that people understand, not just locally, but globally, that we are here. We are part of the life in New Orleans. And I've launched this with the support of the Ashe Cultural Arts Center and Carol Babel, who's been a big mentor of mine and guiding me throughout this process of addressing how people disappeared and what I have to do as an artist. What can I do to challenge that disappearance and actually to put forth something like the internet, creating a new cultural arts platform where we're highlighting our writers, our poets, our performers, our activists, and we drive the narrative. That's important. We have to have the power to present the people's stories and ideas. And that's what I'm doing with Vida in New Orleans.
What will unfold on this new cultural arts platform?
We have an amazing group of writers and scholars, and we're going to present, you know, the live art launches will include music, and we have Jose Fermin Ceballos doing his beautiful anthem, Yo Vengo de Todo Lado, which translates into I Come From Everywhere. It's a really beautiful anthem in its poetic Spanish about the fact that we come here as immigrants to contribute, that we're not trying to take anything or steal from anybody. And it's just a magical piece and poetically profound.
Yo vengo de todo lado, venimos de todas partes. Yo vengo de todo lado, no vine a quitar.
Then we have Roberto Carrillo, who's part of the Taco Truck Theater. He's performing a piece about the children at the border. That's another magical, beautiful, poetic piece. And then we have the group that he's helped to form with his wife, Maria Rodriguez, called Raices. And Raices means roots. And roots is the first group here that has been launched performing indigenous Latin American music with the zampoñas, with the cajon, all this music from Latin America that's Chilean, that's Peruvian, that's Bolivian, Andean. So the idea is to have these launches where we present also our poets, our writers, and create a greater consciousness that we are here, we're not going anywhere, and we have cultural power and cultural cachet, and we will not be forgotten. We will drive our own narratives. And that's the goal of Vida en Orleans.
Now, in addition to the live art events, you are also launching a cultural platform, a website by the same name, Vida in New Orleans.
Yes, that's exactly correct. So the live art launches will be featuring the performance aspect of the content of VidaInNewOrleans.com. And it's one word, VidaInNewOrleans.com. And that's what this cultural platform will do, offer us in cyberspace the fact that we are here, that we're acknowledging our writers, our scholars, our poets, and featuring performers and visual artists. So it's a combination. So the live art launches, like the one happening at Ashe for our premiere launch, will be happening in conjunction to when the site becomes fully launched. And it's available right now. People can go to VidaInNewOrleans.com, all one word, and they can experience the variety of writers we have there, including Rosa Gomez-Herring, Marlon Torres, Lila Arnault, Gabriel Garcia-Steed, and Lynette Luna Tovar and Rafael Delgadillo, right? They're all there mentioned, and they have their articles respective with particular graphics. And we'll be highlighting as well this group Raíces, and Raíces will be performing for us, and José Fermín Ceballos was with his poetic anthem to our people. So it's an actual cultural live platform, VidaInNewOrleans.com, that will be available to the world to make sure that we drive our narrative. So each time we have a launch, the site will have new material. But it is a cultural arts platform for poets, writers, scholars, musicians, and artists to make sure that our people are properly chronicled and they're properly served by us telling our own stories.
This sounds exciting. Jose, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Vida in New Orleans, a cultural arts platform and series of live events to empower the Latin community, launches Saturday, February 9th from 2 to 4:30 p.m. at the Ashe Cultural Arts Center, 1712 Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard. It is free and open to the public. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Additional support comes from Christwood Retirement Community, the Contemporary Arts Center, and the New Orleans Opera Association. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.